Blog Talk Radio.
Today, it's going to be coming to us from 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 9, and we're going to read 6 through 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God's love. He loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 9 says, and it is written, He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be made rich in every way that you can be generous on every occasion, as your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You know, not thanksgiving to just the job or that promotion that you got or that rich husband that you just married, but it's all because of God. All good and perfect things come from our Father, and that's where all of the thanksgiving should come back to. We can say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us that husband. Amen. We can say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us that promotion, for giving me the knowledge to invent this thing or to go here or go there to get, acquire the things that has got me my wealth and got me in the position that I am. But all of these things is because of God's blessings. God's opened that way. God has ushered those things in your direction. God has allowed you to be able to understand the path that you need to take to get those things. It is all because of that. And so we have to remember, sisters and brothers, as we look back on this scripture, a lot of things in there for us to dwell upon, starting out just by telling us to do not let these things go from your mind. Don't get caught up in the day-to-day doings of the world, in our world, that we forget. It says remember these things, right? It says remember that whatever we do is coming back to us. I'm paraphrasing, because it tells us, it says, whoever sows sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly. And I know when we speak of reaping and sowing, we always think first about the church, and the church is always asking me to sow money into this. The church is always asking for money. But it tells us whatever it is that we're doing. It could be into our neighborhood. It could be into your family. If you give a little time, you're going to get a little time back from them. You know, if you give love to that spouse, to that child that you is not claiming that they're just waywardly and just out of control, but if you give a little time, if you give a little attention, if you give a little love, you're going to get a little love back. You're going to get just a little time that they're interested in spending with you. You're only going to get just a little bit of the things that they share with their friends or they share with strangers. They're not sharing it with you because you never share with them. So what you sow is what you're reaping. So it's telling us to stop. It doesn't say that it's ever too late because we still have a breath in our bodies. So we can make a difference. It's telling us that whatever we sow sparingly, that's what we're going to reap. And so on the flip side, it tells us, whatever we sow generously. And when it tells us about sowing generously, that you notice that it also said, let every man give what he has decided in his heart that he's going to give. Not because I'm trying to keep up with you, not because I'm trying to listen to what somebody else tells me that this is what I should sow, but let every man decide what he has decided. God is all about giving us choice. But he has decided in his heart that he's going to give. Let him give that. If it's generously, let him give it. If it's fairly, let him give it. Amen? Because the word of God says that he does not want you to give something reluctantly. He don't want you to just give it because you feel pressured to give it. You feel some compulsion, so you feel like you should give. But because you have decided it in your heart, because he loves a cheerful giver, he wants
you to give it just so you can go back and tell somebody what you gave to this ministry, what you gave to that family in need, what you did. And if it had not been for you, then this wouldn't have happened. But because you just find so much joy out of giving it. It's because that if you kept it in your hands, you would be sadder than you were to give it away. A cheerful giver. And then God's able. He is able. We know that he's able. He is able to make all grace abound to you. You know, that's in your sickness, that's in health, that's going against what, a negative report. He turns it around. You may be studying for your bar exam. You may be studying for just a test in school. Whatever it is that you're needing favor in right now, that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that all things, at all times, not a certain time of year, it's not a certain thing that it is pertaining to, all things at all times, having all that you need, all that you need, and then you will abound in every good work. And then remember, he tells us again that it is written, it is written. He has scattered abroad his gift to the poor. Just because you may be lacking right now, you have gifts also. You have talents. You have things that will get you to where you need to be. It's already inside of you. Don't look at your circumstances and decide that I can't do this. I can't go there because of my circumstance. The good thing about circumstances is you can forget about them. You can move them aside and you can walk out there and you don't have to tell nobody your situation. You can fake it until you make it. You can get yourself out there with the rest of everybody out here. And when we're all walking down Fifth Avenue or when we're all down on the Riverwalk, we all have an opportunity to be who you want to be. Get out there and start working for it. Start working hard. Get back into school. Do what you need to do. Whatever it is. You have gifts. You have talents. He said, and his righteousness endures forever. So as long as you're doing the right thing, you take one step, he's going to take two. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, God bless each and every one of you. And let's just bow our heads in prayer and let's continue with our word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, we just invite you to come and just be a part of this ministry. Dear Father, open the ears and the eyes, dear Father, of all the listeners in the chat room that may come on live, or dear Father, that's it just sitting look somewhere aware it right now and have no idea of where to go. And you may lead them to the archives. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your leading, for your touch, and your power. And now may I decrease and your ever-loving power is invited to come and increase our lives. In every area, dear Father, that we're lacking, we want you, dear Father, to come and give more and more and more and more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. I see you there, Atlanta. God bless you. I see you there, each and every one of you. God bless you all, each and every one of you. I say we are in a time that we just need to be blessed, don't we? We need to bless our families. We need to bless our children daily. You know, we need not to go away from anyone without just putting a blessing on them. And when you say, God bless you, you got to mean it from your heart that you are asking God to put a blessing on their lives. Amen? I know sometimes we get just carried away and just it's just words that we're saying. And it's even used now in negative forms. You notice that people are mad at each other, and that's the first thing they'll say in a negative tone, you know? But God is looking at that. God is looking at that. But we have to be serious about the Lord. We have to be serious. One of the things that the Hebrews, the Jewish community will teach you that you have to be, it's not a word that you don't go around just saying the word God, Jehovah. You know, you really got to make sure that you know that when you're calling him, that he's listening. So we just don't want to just pretend and play games with the word or with this name. We're talking about experiencing super abundance. Somebody said, I need some super abundance in my life right now. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, you come to the right place. God wants you to have super abundance. And it may be over that situation that you've just been kind of toiling over, and it's not stressing you, but I feel like somebody knows what I'm talking about. But it's just something that's just in the back of your mind. It's just like a little itch there, and you're not for sure. You've already jumped and thought, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. But there's something back there that's still kind of just hanging on that you're just not for certain about. In that area, what you're getting ready to settle for, it may be that God just doesn't want that to be your blessing, but he has something even bigger for you. Maybe he wants you to hold out. Maybe he wants you to go a different direction. Or did you even know that you could experience not just abundance, but super abundance? You know, you might ask, and I've heard of abundance, you may say, but what about the super abundance? A writer, Marvin Benson, in his Word Studies of the New Testament, he said that superabundance contains a preposition meaning beyond. Superabundance means over, means above. And therefore, superabundance is something beyond, over, and above abundance. Amen? Benson also goes on to say that Paul is fond of the word, and that of 28 words compound with the preposition in the New Testament, Paul also used 20. I mean, this word can be found twice along in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, which says, and God is able to make all grace super abound towards you, that ye also always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound, super abound in every good work. You know, when we paraphrase words from the original Greek text and add our emphasis on them to understand that super abundance better, let's do a word study again of 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Now, of course, a word study is just when you go through a passage of scriptures, word by word, and you unpack the powerful depth of the meanings waiting to be discovered by each word in the Greek text. And it's very good, too, also when you're doing this, too. In the aid of your study, I also like to look at some additional translations when I'm going through. So as we go through 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and I invite you to take out more time on your own and just pull out your Bibles and get your different versions and translations, all meaning the same things, saying it to you in a different way, and so you can unravel and uncover, display the true meaning, the powerful depth of the words. So to get down in your spirit. Like Paul first said, God is able. Now the Greek word translates as able, meaning powerful. So when we get down to the depth of it, what does it say into it? It says that God is powerful. It also means mighty and strong. So now say those things. You just say that God is able. And you hear the song that God is able. But now I want you to start to feel it in your spirit that God is able, meaning God is powerful. Think of the most powerful thing right now, the most powerful person that you may know. Think of tornadoes or hurricanes, and they said that it came through with power. Think of God is more powerful than that. An earthquake can just crack open the earth and just separate it in all kind of different dimensions and parts, move things around. You come through with hurricanes and it just cover up and just wash things out of the way, mudslides, or move houses over their foundation. And yet none of that. Overcomes the power that is in the word able. When we say God is able tornadoes can just take things and replace them around. To this organization is not a word that you would even want to use for a tornado. It's because it's so horrific. We said this house used to be hundreds of miles there. It was here and here. All by the power of God. So do you see what we're saying a little bit when we're trying to show the powerful depth of the meaning of the word able? I want you to sing your songs, God is able. He is. I want you to be able to feel it. I want you to be able to identify and relate it to something that you're knowing that's going on in your life right now. So the next time that you're looking at that, I want you to be able to say, God is my powerful God. God is mighty. God is strong. You know, it can also mean mighty in wealth. It can be mighty in influence. Is that what you mean? Mighty in favor right now. Maybe mighty in a healing. You know, in other words, all that you are about and all that you read about in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 is first based on God's power. It's first based on his might and his strength, his wealth, his influence. None of it is dependent on your ability. All of it rests right on Jesus Christ. You know, this passage is packed with several A-L-L-S, all. I tried to emphasize that as I was reading through the passages. Did you hear that? Look back on it again as it tells us about all grace. It says always and all sufficiencies. It says all things and every good work and all the alls, A-L-L-S, their presence because it is God who is able to do them. It is God who is able to do the A-L-L. So all of the things that we can think about, all of our blessings, all of our deliverance. I know, my brother, you said it. I've been patiently waiting, and I'm still waiting on that mate. I'm still waiting and waiting. I've got everything prepared, and I've got the job, and I've been successful and all of that, but I've never had someone to just love me. Even that is covered under all. You keep right on praying. God said, I'm going to make you a fisher of all men. You keep right on praying. All deliverance, all healing. God is powerful. God is mighty. That says that God is able. And to make all grace abound towards us. Now both the words make and abound, it's from a Greek word that means to superabound in quantities or quality. It also means to be excessive, coming from the Spirit. Don't get lost. Stay with me. To be excessive, abounding to an abnormal degree. And to be superfluous, which means rendering. It means unnecessary. You want to give up. You just give up all. You turn over control. A useless due to superabundance. So superabundance is having more than you could possibly ever use. More understanding than you can possibly ever use. In the midst of that battle, more peace than you could possibly ever use. You got more healing power in your spirit than you could possibly ever use. Are you using it? Are you believing it? And then some more added on top of that. When you think that you have done all that you can do, do some more on top of that. superabundance. The first use of superabundance in this passage, it refers to the superabundance of all grace. Again, the call here means not just the entire amount, but the whole quantity and quality, the whole duration, the whole degree. You know, I know so many times we feel like I've gave my all in this relationship. I feel like the people of the church have done me wrong, and I've gave my all. You got to do more. Add some more on top of it. It's not about you anymore. He's going to hold you up. He's going to keep you going. You say, but I gave my all in this marriage. Maybe he's asking you to give more. Super abundant. He will give you the power to do it. He will give you the strength to do it. Abundance. He will keep you where you need to be. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. You know, the 20th century New Testament says that God has power to shower all kinds of blessings upon you. And the Wade translation says God has power to shower every gracious favor. Are you needing favor? Favor. Favor about that thing that the lawyer is talking about. You need favor. You said, I'm tired of fighting this situation. You need favor now. Favor. You did what you can. You know, it's hardly too much to say that you have done and you've done and you've done and you've talked and you seem like that child is still just out of control. You seem like that situation in your marriage is not getting any better. But I need abundance now. I need super abundance. I need your favor. Well, the idea of superabundance is joined with grace. That's when you start to work in the power of God. There is enough grace in God's heart, his heart of love, to save anybody. There is enough grace in the heart of our God to keep us saved in these times of sicknesses and whatever may go on, but to keep you. To keep you safe for eternity. Every sinner that has ever had or that ever will live, God loves you enough to still look beyond your thoughts and see that you need him. To see that he needs them. Amen? It's not over. He hasn't forgot about you. He hasn't forgot about your situation. He hears your cry. There is enough grace available to give every saint constant victory. You don't have to try to squeeze me out or me squeeze you out. Grace available to give every saint constant victory over sin. And then some more. There's enough grace to meet and to cope with all the sorrows or heartaches, all the difficulties and temptations and testings and trials of this human existence. And more added to that. He has enough grace to hold you, sustain you, throughout eternity. God's salvation is an oversized salvation. And it is shockproof. I don't care what the doctors may say to shock you. I don't care what you may walk in on in your home. It is still shockproof. I don't care what may have happened that was tragic to you, but it is still shockproof. It's stainproof. It's unbreakable. All sufficient. He's equal to every emergency. He knows your situation. He knows what you're going through.
and his mercy and his love and his grace, it just flows from his heart. See, it's the heart of an infinite God, and it freely flows. His righteousness is given through all sufficient, and he sacrificed on the cross for us. So again, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 then goes on to say, as we close, that a superabundance of all grace will cause always having all sufficiencies in all things. So we're going to have all sufficiencies in all things. We need to make sure that we get what? We plug into his all grace. Into his all grace. Now, that word also has three different powerful meanings. We want to continue, as for the sake of time, we want to go and just to let you know that it always means, first of all, perpetual. It's existing throughout all times. Second, it always means continuously. As in duration, you know, maybe without variations, just duration. And finally, it means constantly. It's a supply without fail. God has enough for you, your family, and you don't have to block anyone else. You don't have to be afraid that if you pray for somebody else that they're going to get more than you. But it's a supply without fail. So our all sufficiencies to never end, never vary, it never fails. So all grace will cause having all sufficiencies in all things. That all sufficiency never ends. It never varies. It never fails. It's foolproof. It's shockproof. It's unbreakable. It's unbreakable. Can you sense faith just rising in your heart right now? It's not God's desire for you to barely make it, desire for you to hardly scrape by. May you begin to just experience that superabundance, that superabundance of grace today. And whatever errors that you're needing it in, it may not be finances for you. It may be to just for you to open your mouth and speak up in some board meeting, to be able to just speak what it is that he has for you to say as you're traveling on your daily journey. Whatever it is, God doesn't mean for you to barely get by, barely be able to make it through your meetings from sweating because of your nervousness, because of your fear. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. You're barely getting by. You're hardly scraping by. But I want you to right now begin to experience the superabundance of God's grace, a grace that freely grants you far more than you could ever possibly need, more than you could ever possibly want or even use. It's a grace so that you can give more than what could ever be exalted to every righteous undertaking. So the more you give, the more he'll give to you. You won't run out. Cup will never go empty if you keep your eyes off of the cup. You just keep on giving. You just keep on walking in righteousness. He'll keep on healing you. Yeah, you just keep on praying and doing the right things. He'll keep on supplying you. You just keep on staying honest and keeping yourself holy, keeping yourself in a purified way. He will send that person that's for you. Just when you're getting back ready to give up, he's got a person. He's just cleaning up a couple of things. He's just getting a couple of things ready for you because he's trying to answer your prayers. You know, we say to be specific when you pray. And sometimes we get so specific that God said, okay, well, you know,
I need to do this and that because I'm trying to meet your prayers. Because if I gave them to him just with those specifics that you gave me, you would not like it. You think it was. It sounds good when you ask for it. But you didn't look about how that would match up and be compatible to you and the way that you have some of your little ways. See, we don't think about those things. But God knows, and he's not going to just hand anything over to us. He's going to make sure that it fits. What good would it be for me to buy you a brand new pair of Jimmy Choo's if they don't fit? You want me to make sure I got the right measurements. You want me to make sure that Vera Wang dress fits you, that accents your body frame, right? I do. You want me to make sure that I got it detailed just for you. Amen? I can get it and say, well, look, I look awesome in it, but I'm going to give it to you. You say, well, Minister Vaughn, what's only two different body types? We wear two different size shoes. What would I do with it? I don't know. You can just tell people that you have it. God's not, he's not going to give you half on anything. He has an unlimited supply, and he wants to supply you with the very best. The very best. Now, will you accept it? Now, will you start to look at abundance? Now, will you remember that all things is possible? Now, will you remember that he is able to supply you, to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Remember, it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for those will always also supply. He will increase your store of seed, and he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to whom? To God above. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus has a glorious moment for you, for each and every one of you. Jesus has a glorious moment for you. You say, I didn't know that. You may haven't heard anything lovely all day today. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you may be missing out on so many things that is available to you that you're just not taking advantage of. I'd just like to introduce you to the greatest friend that you're ever going to need, you ever have. And if you say these simple words with your mouth, you got to believe them in your heart. And it's that simple, you will be born again. Simple, you start your beginning here to walk with God and to accept the riches and the glorious things that he has for you. Amen? To know that you don't have to do this by yourself, that I'm going to turn over all the authorities of my life to you daily. Amen? That I'm going to read my Bible to see exactly what it is that I should be doing. What does your word say about my life and how I should be living it? That I'm going to take it out of my hands and give it right back to you. I'm going to choose to dedicate it back to you. Everything that I say and do. Amen? Amen. Just open your mouth and believe from your heart and repeat after me. Jesus, I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me with your precious blood. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you were sent by him to die on the cross for me. And I accept all that your shed blood fought for me on that cross. And I receive you as my Savior and my Lord
not just for now, but forever and evermore. And congratulations if you just prayed that prayer. It's just that simple. God has forgiven you and delivered you out of the power of darkness and now delivered you into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is the glorious moment of all of heaven is rejoicing right now with you because of your decision. And because we know that it's very important that you let someone know about your decision to follow Christ, I want to hear from you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to send out any biblical literature or anything that will help you on your walk, your new walk with God. You know, it's very important that you get into a Bible-teaching church. Everything that says church doesn't mean that they're teaching from the Bible. Amen? I'll be more than happy to send you out a Bible. We'll pray over a church in your area. Let God lead you to where you need to be. Amen. I'd also like to hear about any prayer requests that you have, a praise report that you have. Just send it again, walkwithmegod@aol.com. Well, remember, God loves you. The whole heavens is shouting of your decision. You know, you have somewhere to spend eternity, but you don't have to be miserable while you're here. He wants to lead you and guide you and show you the way. He wants to let you know that I'm always with you. My word is never going to come back to me void. I see you, I hear you, and I'm willing and I'm able. Remember, he's powerful. Will you rely on his strength today instead of your own? Just turn over all of your cares. Because I'm going to give them to you today. I'm just not going to go to sleep tonight with all of this on me. I'm going to give it to you. Well, he's able to take care of those. We're not built to carry those things around. But he is. That's why he reminds us, baby, give it to me. Why would you try to carry that heavy load? You can't do it, but I can. All you got to do is release it to him. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'd like to just thank each and every one of you for all that you say and do about the ministry, everyone that contacts the ministry with your praise reports and your prayer requests. I thank you for allowing us to just be a part of your life. Amen. Until the next episode, remember, I love you. This is your host, Minister Yvonne Dilma, signing off. But the most important thing is God loves you. God truly loves you. He's invested in you. So day by day, let's keep him in the front of our lives. Amen. God bless you. See you next time. Bye-bye.